This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and joining me now is the radio play-by-play voice of your Memphis Grizzlies. That would be Eric Hasseltine. Eric, how's it going? Good to talk with you.
It's good to talk with you, my man. Everything's great. I couldn't be in a better place. I couldn't be in a more magical place on the planet.
Yeah. Disney World? How about it?
Yeah, I'm at Epcot Center today. Yeah, it turns out when your flight gets canceled leaving Orlando, you're like, it's fine, I'll be okay.
Well, thanks.
I'll just fly out tomorrow.
Do you consider yourself a Disney adult?
Oh, 100%.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I am. I'm that guy that people think is crazy and weird because I'll go with adults only. I'll go by myself. Sometimes if I'm down here, but like here, Universal, my son and I have annual passes to both. I go with friends. I go with him. Yeah. It's so, running around, just seeing around the, Flower and Garden Festival, riding rides and eating some great food.
Well, I will say this, you kind of beat out the narrative about Disney adults. Most people think you people are a certain way. I think you're breaking up the monotony.
I know more people more like me that do it than the people that I get it. Like, you see, even I kind of roll my eyes at some of the patrons, but you know, I try not to be judgmental. If you love something,
right,
you love it. I never so like there are people that love, things that I find incredibly boring. I mean, no offense to hunters, but I don't see the right joy in sitting in a field waiting to find a deer. That's just never appealed to me. I don't judge the guys that do, one, because they carry guns, and two, because hey, if you like it, more power to you. I'm just not getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to try to find a deer. I'll sleep in. But you know, it's everybody's different, and I've always been a roller coaster freak, and ever since I was a kid, and I was fortunate my parents were able to take me to different places in California and other spots.
Right.
So yeah. But
I've never been. Would you suggest it?
The top. Look, I'm not wearing a costume in here.
So good. You're not wearing the Mickey Mouse ears.
No, I don't.
Okay,
have
good.
Those.
I got you.
You do see the people? I guess my daughter did it when she was younger. They call it Disney bounding, where they buy regular clothes and match up to like a character. So my daughter did it when she was like 15 and did as Winnie the Pooh, and it looked really good. I'm not going to be 52 years old dressing like Peter Pan and hoping to find Tinkerbell running around this place.
Maybe one time though, we need to get a picture of it. I mean, that would be phenomenal.
I did take my son to the Halloween party. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry. I did
no,
take
you're
the
not
Halloween
good.
Party. And obviously I'm not tall. I'm not as big as you are, but the only thing we could think of where we could go as a group was I would go as Mr. Incredible and he would go as Dash. And it came off. And the girl I was dating at the time went as Edna Mode, and like, she got stopped every 5 minutes because like no one ever dresses as Edna Mode, and she did and pulled it off. So that's the extent of it. Halloween, maybe. Other times, no costume.
So I've never been. You suggest I go? I mean, I have an excuse now with a child here in a couple of years.
I would say, so I waited, believe it or not, like my son was a, when he was 6 months old, he saw Mickey Mouse on TV and it was just like the eyes opened and I went, okay, that's his jam. He didn't get into Sesame Street. He didn't get into Dora. He didn't get into the other things. We did other cartoons, but it was always like back to Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. I waited till he was six because it is a lot. It's a lot on parents. It's a lot on the kids. And so at six, he was great. But yes, I suggest you do it. I suggest you and the wife break away and do it. I will be happy to give you some tips and pointers on like what to do and what not to do. And it's everybody that says it's the most expensive day ever is not inaccurate. It's not cheap. But I mean, there's some really cool things to do here other than just like ride rides. Like I'm down here with some friends and we went to a new restaurant that used to be the ESPN Zone that was fantastic on the boardwalk. And there's, you know, other places around Orlando that I've, you know, gotten to know people. And if you're a golfer, there's great golf down here. There's great spas. So it's not all just like, hey, let me just go throw a pile of money at a cartoon mouse. There's plenty to do.
Yeah. No, I'm going to hold you to that. When we make that trip. All right, now getting into the NBA playoffs, holler at me about the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think finally people are acknowledging the true like historical greatness of that team. 68 wins in the regular season. Yeah. They are 80-18. 80-18 overall this season. They're top three in net rating all time. I saw their first all time at NBA playoff turnover differential. They're plus 100, which is absolutely insane. That means they have 100 more opponent turnovers than turnovers of their own. Like when you watch this team, like is it finally to the point where okay, we can talk about them as one of the all time great teams, at least in the 21st century?
Well, I think if you go back to when we talked right before the Grizzlies playoff series, I told you they were the best team I had seen all season. It wasn't even close because of the way they play both ends of the floor. And I was chuckling then at the whole, oh, they don't have the experience. Oh, they don't have that. And I get it. It's easy to get caught up in the, well, the Lakers got Luka and they're a different team ever since. And the Warriors got Jimmy Butler and they're a different team ever since. And the Nuggets just needed to get, you know, mentally right and get guys healthy, even though they're missing a couple guys from their championship teams like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Bruce Brown, but they're going to get right playoff time because they have Jokic. And you're starting to make every excuse as to why the Thunder wouldn't win it. And I was making the excuses of why they would. And the reason why I thought they would was you have three perimeter defenders that are just absolute, you know, up in your face. You know, everybody calls them dogs. The guys, they just go and they will just get all over. It doesn't matter if you're 7 feet tall or 6 foot one, they're getting there. And I was telling Jeffrey yesterday, one of the more memorable moments for me of when I realized this team's a problem for everyone, not just the Grizzlies. And that night when Ja didn't play, Cason Wallace just walked up to Scottie Pippen, who had the ball, and just literally just yanked it right out of his hands. And I'm like, I don't even know how to describe what I just saw. Like, he literally just walked up to him and said, you know, the proverbial gimme that.
Right.
And like, it was amazing. And they were doing that all night. And then you realize they're getting Alex Caruso back, who's hung his head on this. And if you go back and look at all the championship teams, and I'm going to go back even through the Warriors run, they all have one thing in common. They have not just one, but usually two just lockdown perimeter defenders. Boston with White and Holiday. When they got Holiday, I went, that's going to make them really difficult to get past. And then you looked at Denver with Pope and Caldwell-Pope and Brown and you know, I mean, Bruce Brown, not Christian Brown, but guys that were getting after it. Oh, by the way, you had Jokic. And you go earlier than that, when the Warriors had Klay Thompson, people forget Klay Thompson was a lockdown perimeter defender. And with Draymond Green, that just made it nightmarish to get the ball to attack. And so one of the things, you know, people have been asking, and I've heard you guys talk about it, you know, does this vindicate the Grizzlies as being a good team, not a championship team? Because truthfully, if you look at the West, I only think there's one championship team, and I think they're in the finals. I think when you talk about where they are compared to everybody else, they're just better right now. Now, how long can they sustain that with salary cap issues and contracts increasing and guys wanting to get paid? Who knows? Maybe you can sustain these runs for 3-4 years. But they're young enough where if guys took a step aside and said, hey, if we just do this for 2 more years, I'll still get paid, but I got a chance to do something special. We'll see. But when you talk about what the Grizzlies did, yeah, the first game they got their doors blown off. I thought in that game, though, they missed a lot of open shots. They missed a ton of open shots in game two, where that game could have had a very different complexion. And I thought in game three they figured out kind of the formula of don't pass a good shot for a great shot because you're not going to get the great shot. They're going to recover. They recover better than anybody in the league. So when you get the good shot, be willing to take the good shot. Embrace a quick look if it's good. And be willing to get out and transition and run as quick. Just go breakneck speed to get to your to try to get in a man advantage setup. So don't let them get their feet set on the defensive end of the floor, or else you're going to have a hard time scoring. And so I thought the Grizzlies did a good job of that. And then obviously they've run, you know, now through Minnesota, and then they've beaten the Denver. And
right.
they're just better.
Yeah.
They're just the better team.
And
so, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, what amazes me about them on the defensive end, one, you try to drive in the paint, you're getting the ball stolen. Like, you just cannot get to the rim for whatever reason against them. Their hands are so active. Maybe they get a little bit away with a little bit too much shoving and hacking and stuff like that, but they have found a way to make that work to their advantage. But, like, the question that amazes me is when you look at that starting lineup, who's the weak link, right? Like, who would you point to? SGA? Because SGA is a guy who's been on, he's had a defensive player of the year vote. He's been on all defensive team voting on multiple occasions. Like, when you look at that starting lineup, who actually is the weak link defensively? Because it just doesn't seem like they have one.
There's not. There's really not, because Hartenstein really has the luxury of taking the other team's, you know, big that's probably not a scoring threat, like a Rudy Gobert.
Right.
And then when Rudy Gobert gets the ball, tries to drive in the lane. And I don't know, I guess you think you can flip it over your head backwards into the basket better than a layup, but they are physical to an extent of, and I don't know why more teams don't do this. Literally, you know this as an offensive lineman.
Sure.
You beat the heck out of the man in front of you with everything you got until the referee say, okay, that was too much. That was too much jersey grab. That was too much, you know.
But they're not going to call it every time, Eric. That's the thing that I think you're sort of highlighting. They're just not going to call it.
And I said that in the Grizzlies series on the air. I remember saying, if you think you're going to put your head down and drive into the teeth of this defense and good things are going to happen, you're sadly mistaken. You don't need to take more than three dribbles against them.
Right.
If you make your move, watch when the third dribble hits. Once the third dribble hits, just in the finals, just kind of keep an eye on this one night. When the second or third dribble hits, these guys, they break because they know after two or three dribbles, you're not giving it up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's and Connor will attest to this when we were doing a show together. We would talk about Dylan Brooks. If that ball hits the ground the fourth time, good things are not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, if Dylan Brooks was in the rhythm that he needed to be in, it was 1-2 dribbles shot, 1-2 dribbles pass and cut. But if he was four dribbles dribbling between his legs, 3-4 trying to make a head and shoulder fake, we're like, all right, why don't you just hand him the ball and just get this over with so we can save everybody a lot of time here, buddy, because it's not going to go well. And that's the way they are. And I think that's a lot of coaching. I think that's a lot of chemistry. I think that's a lot of teamwork. And you get guys like Lu Dort, who wasn't drafted, Cason Wallace, who was drafted in the lottery, but a later lottery pick that everybody said, oh, undersized. What can he do? All right, I'll show you what I can do. And it's not easy. And I think the genius of Mark Daigneault is this. He has gotten every single player on that team to go, yes, sir, I accept that role.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I'm sure there's some times where guys go, you know, maybe if I was in Charlotte, I could be averaging 18 a game and, you know, doing this. Yeah, but are you winning? No,
right.
Not you're not if you go to a bad team. And some guys would rather have the numbers and losses, and other guys would rather have fewer numbers and wins and chances to win titles. And I think that's the genius of Mark Daigneault and of Sam Presti, who's taken a lot of criticism for the way he just kept acquiring picks when he didn't like a guy on the board. He's like, all right, well, we'll just trade out of this one and get two more for next year. And to the point where I even said, I'm like, dude, at some point you actually have to use them.
Right.
You can't just keep trading one for two more and two for three more. You can't end up with like an entire year's draft, because then what are you going to do? Because that's the way we're going. And he didn't. Like, he eventually said, okay, I'll take this guy. They've missed on very few.
Mm-hmm.
They don't take guys they don't think can fit. They missed on Alexei Pukaszewski, who was a 7-foot-1 Russian guy, but super skinny, built like Chet Holmgren, but just couldn't get to the speed of the game. But wasn't awful
right.
In their rebuild. And so, yeah, like you said, I think their aggressive nature, their their chemistry, their help side defense, it's next level. And I think a lot of teams are going to be watching tape and going, if we don't embrace this, like moving forward, we're not catching them. And you better get on board with it and not just try, oh, we'll just outscore you, because you ain't outscoring those guys.
Yeah. Now tell me if you've seen it this way, and this goes to the Pacers as well, who are up against the Knicks and likely could close it down, close that series, going back home coming up tomorrow night. But it's kind of interesting. When we talk about NBA playoffs historically, what do we talk about? We talk about half-court offense, not going to be able to run as much. You have to shorten the rotation. There's going to be more physicality. The refs are going to hold the whistle. Like, when we look at least the Pacers, and I think the Thunder fit into this, even though they're just supremely talented as well. Long rotations, pace stays the same, numbers stay about the same from a scoring perspective. I think the Pacers actually have 1.5 more points averaging in the playoffs than they do during the regular season. Like, it's kind of interesting to look at this playoffs in particular, these playoffs in particular. Feels like we're escaping some of the historical sort of narratives that we have about the playoffs in the NBA. Yeah. No, because you know, the Pacers style is not something that in the past we would say is conducive to playoff basketball, but it's worked well.
And it's worked for them. And I've never understood why you get to the playoffs and you go, okay, we're going to change what we do because that's what we're supposed to do, because it's going to be more physical, because the timeouts are longer, because other teams are going to go long in their rotation. That's great. If you have 9 guys you truly believe in, no matter who's on the floor, then roll with those 9 guys. Don't start cutting it down. Now, you might have to mix up some things that, you know, like where the Grizzlies were playing. You know, I think that one of the reasons they made the change was that 5-out offense is going to be hard when teams just go, all right, well, we're going to go just get super physical, even on the perimeter, until the referees tell us to stop. And the referees are going, yo, dude, it's playoffs, time to play even tougher. And so that might, you know, be where you tweak a thing or two, but you know, I don't think you tweak your rotations. I think if you've got guys who all year long have played, you know, these kind of minutes, you know, then 28, 29 minutes, and now all of a sudden you want them to play 36, it's fine. But I'm of the belief that I don't see a problem in necessarily what Tom Thibodeau did in the regular season. Everybody's going to point to, if they don't get out of this series, look, he just wore them down and they ran out of gas against Indiana. No, they ran into a team that was red hot. It's not just that they didn't have the depth. If you don't believe in the guy behind your starter, you don't play him 20 minutes just because. You go, yo, dude, like I can only play like 8 minutes until you prove to me otherwise. And if that's how he believes, that's fine. They're a really good team. They're just not playing their best because Indiana is physical and running at them and made big plays. Look, this series is 3-2 New York. If they don't do right, to me, it's the craziest thing. Like, it's pretty – I don't mind the foul when you're up by 3 and they have the possession, but you don't do it with over 10 seconds.
Right.
And a lot of coaches I've talked to have said, like, that I've over the years and discussed with and Grizzly staffs, other staffs, usually do that 8 seconds or less.
Yeah. I think the Thunder did 2 last weekend. They had 2 when it was under, I think, 12 seconds. It worked well for them.
Yes, and it can. I'm not saying it can't, but there is more room for errors. Like when they fouled in that game where they were trying to foul whoever it was shooting a 3, and he almost got the 3 away, and it was, I think it was Bridges that fouled him. Or no, it was Anunoby. And I went, yo, too soon. Like now you're putting pressure on your guy to make 2 free throws.
Correct.
Now, again, these are 80% free throw shooters, but 80% in the regular season compared to 80% in the playoffs with a game on the line where you have to make these 2 and you have to keep making them or you're leaving the door open for your opponent to come back. It's a little different feeling. And so I just thought that Indiana was not going to chuck up a shot in the first 2 seconds. They were going to try to work a play. So you let them work some of the play. And if Aaron Nesmith hits a fadeaway, you know, 26-foot 3-point shot from the right wing with a hand in his face to tie the game, you're like, yo, dude, tip the cap.
Right.
We shouldn't have let you get that close in the first place. But now we have the ball back with 10 seconds and it's in our control. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you got the Tyrese Halliburton shooting a shot that, I mean, if you don't believe in basketball gods after that,
right.
I don't know what more proof you need. That ball hit the iron, went above the shot clock and fell in. And I'm like, no way. Like the angle it took off the back iron watching it, I'm like, that's going to go in. Mm-hmm. That's going to go in, like off the rebound. I'm like, that's got a chance to go right back down. And it did. And, you know, hindsight's 2020, but I don't think the minutes, going back to the original point, are the reason the Knicks are in this position. I just don't believe that.
Right.
I think they're still fine, and they're 25 to 28 year old supremely conditioned professional athletes. They don't just put their feet up and eat Cheetos every night. So I think when you talk about the way the Pacers and the Thunder have used their depth, it's because those guys could be starters. They have that depth for a reason. Now you're talking about a little bit more depth on the Thunder side, which if those two teams end up meeting up, I think plays a big factor because, you know, I like what TJ McConnell's done. I really do. I like what Thomas Bryant has come in and done after, you know, toiling around the league. He's been solid for Indiana, and you like what Benedict Mathurin can do and TJ McConnell and all these guys. But you're talking about, you know, you look at the Thunder and these guys, well, Wiggins coming in, he averaged in double figures. And like when you look per 36, that dude's like a 22 point per game guy if he's playing 36 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then you talk about their size and being able to mix it up, a shooter like Isaiah Joe, an athlete like Cason Wallace, you start going down the list, you're like, okay, they're like 11 deep legit. And I think that's a huge advantage, and that comes with all those picks, and that's where I go back to the how long does this run last. But, I mean, to me, it's going to be hard-pressed for anybody to convince me that the Thunder don't win this whole thing, because if you're talking about a team like you mentioned that has won 80% of their games, that means right. They win 4 out of every 5. You're telling me all of a sudden you're going to beat them 4 out of 7, and yeah. If they get 1, 4 out of 6, come on. What are we talking about here?
All right, now bear with me because I know you probably, you know, hate this type of conversation as much as I do. Like when we look at ESPN with Tyrese Halliburton, they're talking about, is he a star or a superstar? Is he made that superstar leap? I find it ridiculous. But like I listen to some of these things. I heard Stephen A. Smith talk about it and other guys, the Morris twins, believe it or not, Kendrick Perkins.
Why are we putting them on TV, by the way?
Correct. I'm in full agreement there. But when people like that talk about it and they say he's not a superstar, what they'll bring to you first is, well, you know, he wasn't even the leading scorer on his team. And, you know, most of the time he scores about 19 points per game, 18 points per game. Getting up to those 30, 35 balls, that's not a normality for him. When I hear people talk about Tyrese Halliburton in that way, I don't care if he's a star or a superstar. It feels like up until now people have missed the point regarding what type of player he is, and he's a pass-first point guard. It's strange to see sort of the type of conversations we have in the NBA. Tyrese Halliburton can score, but that's not his first, you know, idea. That's not what he wants to do time in, time out when he hits a basketball floor. I feel like there's a misunderstanding to a certain extent still about who Tyrese Halliburton is a player. I brought up, and obviously I don't think this is a one-for-one, this guy won some MVPs, but like the Steve Nash idea, where it's like, yeah, he's not going to put up 30 points per game. It's not what he's going to do, but you know what? He's going to account for 40% of his team's points through assists and scoring. That's the type of player he is. It feels like there's still a misunderstanding.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think part of it may be unfair to him, too, is that people remember he was traded. And superstars don't tend to get traded unless they play for Dallas. And
oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
The GM and that guy, you know, he's not any good. Why would we want to keep him? You know, look, he came in the league and he's in a situation with De'Aaron Fox where it's not going to be beneficial for the Kings to keep him and Fox together. So the trade works for both teams because Sabonis comes in and helps the Kings. And then here's Halliburton. And as he's playing in Indiana, you're like, yo, this is the dude they thought they were getting and why everybody was so high on this guy out of Iowa State. And you watch him, and then he comes back from a lot of basketball. I mean, remember, this team was in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, and they got bounced, and they got beat. And then he goes to the Olympics, and he's playing, and you're like, yo, this dude's played a ton. And he comes back, and he starts off slow, and it was like, oh, see, he's a flash. Tyrese Halliburton is a really good player. It's an awkward-looking shot. That's the other thing. He's not just this pure scorer, super bouncy, like glide right. to the rim, like Ja or Anthony Edwards. Dude's a ball player. And to me, what I judge a superstar on is, do his teammates get better when he's on the floor? Does the team as a whole get better when he's on the floor? Is he willing to sacrifice his own numbers to help a team win, and is that team winning because of it? And he checks all those boxes.
Yes.
I mean, we're so afraid to label players superstars because we save those monikers for Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley and Patrick Ewing. And I'm like, that's not superstar. That's Hall of Fame. Like, there were guys that were superstars in those days that aren't in the Hall of Fame. Rolando Blackman, superstar. I mean, absolute, just go get you 25 guy, but isn't in the Hall of Fame for whatever reason. You talk about some of the other guys that are in there, you know, in that mix of non-Hall of Fame guys that made multiple All-Star games, and you're like, yeah, he was a superstar. But because they played in a time where the brightest superstars go to the Hall of Fame, you're like, you're not willing to go, oh, well, he's just a star, not a superstar. Well, what defines that to you? Is it championships? Is it this? Well, if you define it by championships, then what do you say about Karl Malone, Patrick Ewing, sure, Charles Barkley, all these guys? If you define it as All-Star appearances, okay, well, he checks that box. So I get it, and I do get it. It's a term that people are afraid to lob out there because they don't want to cheapen it. But if you don't think that guy right now is a superstar of this time, then I think that's a mistake. Now, if you want to say all-time great, all-time superstar, yeah, he may have a ways to go. It's got to continue for multiple years. But I think the guy is one of the better playmakers we've seen in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years overall. That's not, when I say playmaker, I don't mean a guy that goes out and makes plays for himself and scores. I mean, Ja, phenomenal. You know, Anthony Edwards, phenomenal, those type of players. But look at Steph Curry. Obviously, he gets his accolades because he's the greatest shooter to probably ever step on a basketball court. You can make an argument for other guys. I get it. He is one of the greatest jump shooters ever. But he also is so great because he makes other guys better. He never stops moving. He runs the offense. It's not a me first, me first, me first, I'm going to get mine. Those guys get weeded out. They just do. I mean, Derek Coleman's a great example of that. I mean, Michael Jordan once said Derek Coleman's the most talented player in the NBA, and he could be that guy if he cared as much about it as other people care about saying that to you. You know, without saying it in a negative way, he's just like, if he gave his heart and soul to this game, he'd be unstoppable. But if you don't love the game that way, then it's hard. And that's the other thing superstars have, is this inherent love of the game and inherent will to compete. And that's why people to this day crush LeBron, or they look at guys and like, oh, well, he's great, but he's not a killer. He's not Kobe. He's not
right.
Well, very few guys are. Okay, that's why they're, you know, top 5, top 10 of all time.
To be fair, right? Tyrese Halliburton fits that killer moniker based on what he's done in these playoffs. Three. I mean, either game-winning or tying shots in the last 2 minutes of the fourth or OT. I mean, the guy's ridiculous.
But doesn't he come across, though, as so, like, laid back? And here's his dad doing that thing to Giannis, and he's like, hey, man, I'm going to go apologize to Giannis. You're right. That's unacceptable. Whereas, like, I think if people heard him say, I don't care what my dad does. We just kick their, you know what?
Right.
If they got a problem with it, play better. I think that might make people go, oh, hey, Tyrese Halliburton's a superstar. Let's hate everybody.
Right.
Like, what's the difference? He's still the same player on the court. So, but I get that. I think that killer instinct, that drive, and, you know, but it's a different time. You and I both know, and maybe football is the one sport where these guys don't know each other as well as the other sports. But if you talk about baseball, basketball, hockey, soccer, these volleyball, these youth sports where kids are playing against each other, elite kids from the time they're 10. And that's not to say every 10-year-old in the elite game today is going to go on pro, because they're not. But these guys play against each other. The EYBL was just in Memphis. These kids are playing against each other all summer. Whereas before, like when I grew up, we knew of guys, never saw them. And then you'd see them, and you're like, legit. All the hype is real. And then the other guy's like, we'll see. Maybe we just caught him on an off night, but we weren't all that blown away by that. And that was in every sport. Like, there wasn't the same amount of exposure to one another. And so to me, when an NBA player says the most overrated player is Tyrese Halliburton, it was like 17%, some low number.
Right.
But it's just like one guy that maybe thinks he can cook him any given night. Decides, yeah, I'll put Tyrese Halliburton down. I'm tired of listening to everybody talk about him when I drop 30 on him. And it's one game. Remember where the sources are coming from.
Sure.
And everybody's going to hang on to that. See, oh, look, even his peers think he's overrated. He's not a superstar. I'm like, okay, if you give me a choice of 10 guys in the NBA who I want to have the ball in their hands down by one to make a play, to either for his teammate to score easily or for him to score, he's probably going to be on that list of 10.
Yep.
I'm not going to say who, you know, who I think is the greatest clutch player, because even the greatest clutch players miss. Michael Jordan said,
sure,
I love all the highlights of the ones I made, but there were a lot of ones I missed too. But I was willing to take the shot, and Tyrese Haliburton's willing to take that shot.
Now, final thing for Eric Hasenstein, the radio play-by-play voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. I don't know when we all became TV execs, but I think the overwhelming take about what we're going to see in the NBA Finals, if it is the Pacers and the Thunder, is, okay, this is the best matchup we could possibly get. These teams both play long rotations. They get up and down the floor. They play a lot of offense, that type of thing. And they don't seem to have like major weak links on the defensive end. So I think most people, if you're an NBA fan, they look at this matchup and they say, this is a good matchup. But I think most people also in that same breath will say, you know, the TV ratings are going to be low. When did we become so obsessed with TV ratings and not just in a general sense, the product on the floor? Because I find this to be strange, and it seems like a new thing to me. It seems relatively new, at least.
It's over the last handful of years. It's when rights fees became astronomical and you got a bidding war, and the greatest television pregame coverage and postgame coverage and in-studio show is going bye-bye because of money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing else. It's not because of product. It's not because of talent. And they even matched the deal and they said, no, we're going to make more money streaming. So, you know, when you have these outrageous numbers being thrown around, which is why guys are going to be making $70-80 million, and you know, people are like, well, are the fans going to pay more? I'm like, well, eventually, yeah, fans always pay more, but it's not all coming from them. It's mainly TV. So that's where it comes from, because you're talking about a market of, you know, 13 million people, and if you walk down the street, every hot dog vendor, you know, guy walking in a business suit that's from there, anybody from New York originally goes, oh, I'm a diehard Knicks fan. And they're also the ones that 3 years ago when they stuck, I hate the Knicks. They
right.
I root for this team. But they'll watch. And, you know, those people all go, the Knicks suck. I'm not watching any more basketball till next year. The Knicks are horrible. They're just horrible. I'm like, no, they're not horrible. Like, the NBA is really good. It's really deep. It's really talented. And you're catching a team that's on a remarkable run right now. And look, we saw it firsthand. They dropped 50 on the Grizzlies in a quarter right out of the All-Star break, and I kind of looked around and went, these guys are playing much better than right. when the Grizzlies hammered them in FedEx Forum early in the season. So I think it's just, that's the way it's become. It's all about ratings. It's all about clicks. It's all about views. And, you know, these numbers are what they are. They're the data. And, like, when these teams play, you know, it's the reason why you don't see the Pacers every week on TNT, even though they're exciting. You don't see the Grizzlies on national TV that you did for a minute when they were kind of the hot young up and coming team. But ask yourself this, the Thunder this year, they weren't on national TV as much as they should have been with what they had. Now you can flex some of those out and it changes, but you think early season, how often did you see the Thunder? You didn't, you don't see them
right.
that much. You see them once or twice. You see the Lakers, you see the Warriors, you see the big name household blue chip market teams, the Celtics, you see a Giannis, you see a Jokic, you see like certain individual players who have won MVPs. And that's what they find draws fans. That's what they find gets people to go to the Instagrams and the you know, Snapchat and the Twitter and whatever
sure.
you want to call them. You know, I just think it's sad because it's the same thing why we don't embrace greatness with fandom. We're always so willing to denounce somebody being great in this generation by, well, they're great, but they're not as good as this guy back in the past.
Sure.
They came before him
right.
better. And it's and look, I'm old. I get it. Like, I get that's an old man thing. Like, oh, back in my day, everything was better. It's not. It wasn't. It really wasn't. Like, back in my day, we had four channels. It sucks. Now, the reason why you may have seen some better athletes was, kids weren't sitting around with video games that look like movies, but those are really cool. Like, I hate to say it, like, I don't play them. I'm not a 52-year-old gamer, but I watch it. I'm like, I can see how a kid would do this, and they're on their phones, and everybody's like, well, my kid's on my phone all the time. There's a phone all the time. I go, well, is he watching TV and on the phone at the same time? No. And I go, well, that's their version of TV. And the difference is when you and I grew up, we had to make appointment television to watch Saved by the Bell or your favorite, you know, kid show at that time. Take your pick. And now it's like you can DVR that, you can record that, you can watch it on your phone, you can watch shorts and videos that are take 10 minutes and you can move on to the next, where we had to watch commercials and all these things. And so it's just a different generation. And I think now the almighty dollar is such that, hey, if we're going to spend this much money on getting the games, we better get the ratings so we can turn that around into advertising dollars. And that's the unfortunate thing, because I do think the league right now is really good. I think there's some really good things going on in the league. I think there's some things that I would like to see changed. I don't want to see a 3-on-1 break and two guys run to the corner. If you have a chance to take 2 points, you take 2 points. And I do think that'll come around, because this is all still relatively new. But I just think it's gotten to that point, Gabe, because the money is you know, just so off the charts high that, you know, now there's no more talk of you have to go to a big market to make money. If you're good, you're going to make a killing and you're going to live a really good life. I mean, end of the bench players are making $5 million now.
Sure.
That's a good, it's a good way to eke out a living. And I'd love to try it for a couple of years. If anybody needs a 52-year-old, can't go left, slow, can't jump, can't shoot 52-year-old point guard, I'm your guy.
Yeah,
I'll be at training camp next
You'll
week.
You'll be a player coach. We can make you a player coach, Eric. That'll work out.
Absolutely.
For sure.
I coached on NBA 2K once. I got off.
Yeah, you know what you're doing. I got
yeah,
you.
Exactly.
For sure. Well, Eric, you the man. I appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Gabe, thanks, brother. Have a great summer.
Yes, sir. He is Eric Hasseltine, radio play-by-play voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. We need to go ahead and grab a break on that note, and we need to hop into the Blitz as we normally do in the third hour right here on the Gabe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Now, the biggest stories.
Overloading the line.
A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
From Adam Schefter, the 49ers and Eagles are working to finalize a trade that will send edge rusher Bryce Huff to San Francisco for a mid-round pick. The trade cannot and would not be processed until after June 1st, but both sides are working to make it happen, and Huff already has reworked his contract to help facilitate the trade. In San Francisco, Huff will be reunited with 49ers DC Robert Saleh, his former head coach with the Jets.
And he was very good with the Jets, just to be very clear. When he was with the Jets in 2022 and 23, he had a 22% pressure rate, and then in 2023, 21.3%. Those were both the first overall top marks in the NFL for pressure rate. And then in 2024, when he had injuries with the Eagles, signed that $51.1 million deal, he had an 11.6% pressure rate. Now, a lot of that's injury, but some of that's scheme. Like, he was very familiar with Robert Saleh and what he wanted him to do off the edge. Now he's going to reunite with him, but 11.6 was 41st in the National Football League. But like I said, he signed that three-year $51.1 million deal last season. So the question right this second is, how much are the Eagles going to pay versus the 49ers pay? The Eagles restructured Bryce Huff's contract this week. He was set to make about $17 million fully guaranteed this season from Philly. The Eagles will take on $9.05 million, and the 49ers will only be responsible this year for $7.95 million. So the way I look at this, this is a great deal for the 49ers and Bryce Huff. Now, when you look at the Eagles side of these things, you have Nolan Smith. You have other edge rushers that could step into certain roles, but they will be losing a guy that they put a lot of money into, and they're still paying the bill for that. So I look at this, and I think Bryce Huff will get back to my former teammate, will get back to where he was a couple of years ago with 10 sacks. And I think the 49ers really made out looking good here. They're not paying the full contract, and you pair him alongside on the other side of Nick Bosa. You also, made a pick this year for Mykel Williams out of Georgia on the edge. So I think the 49ers did a really good job of facilitating this and making it happen.
I think it's one of those trades that make a ton of sense for both sides. The Eagles, they move somebody out and make way for some of the younger players, some of the more talented guys. We love Bryce Huff, but it makes more sense for him to be in San Francisco. They needed some help on the defensive end. Do you think it moves the needle much for the 49ers, or do you just think it's going to help them compete a little bit more?
I just think they'll have better edge defenders. I think they'll have a better pass rush. I think it's that simple. They already have a good one, Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa is probably the best D end, if not one of the top three D ends in the National Football League. I think that when you bring Bryce Huff in for those situational downs, he's already familiar with Robert Saleh's system. There's not going to be a learning curve. You bring him in situationally on third down to really go pass rush, because that's what he did well with the Jets when he had his 10-sack season. So I think that this lifts up their defense to a certain extent. I don't know how much it's going to lift up their team. They've lost some things. We have to see what the offense looks like now that Brock Purdy has all that money. Brandon Ayuk's coming off an ACL injury. George Kittle's getting older. We'll see what that looks like. But defensively, I think this is a return to normalcy for the 49ers. Now, I know you say it makes sense for the Eagles, and I think when we look at it in a general sense, you're offloading a contract that was a problem for you. He didn't play very well in his first season with the Eagles, all that. But at the same time, like, you're still paying a majority of his salary this year, and he's not going to be playing for you. I'm not saying it doesn't make sense for the Eagles, but I'm not going to act like they made it out of this thing smelling like roses. I feel like the 49ers have a way better sort of outlook with this particular trade. It's just going to be a mid-round pick. They only have to pay $7 million to a guy who's been highly productive off the edge in the NFL, and the Eagles lose some depth there.
Do we know what year the pick's going to be?
We do not know the year, and we don't know the round
because it can't go
through till June 1st.
Yeah,
so we're gonna have to see and watch. If it's a second round pick, I may change my opinion. But they say mid round. That's probably fourth, fifth, sixth, and I think that would make sense for the 49ers to give that up to strengthen their chances with their pass rush. But Eagles, it makes sense that they offloaded a contract that was a problem for them. But I don't know how much sense it makes to foot most of his salary for next year if you're really trying to make your books look better.
Juan Soto is having a career worst start to his season. He's batting .224 with only 8 home runs, which is tied for 55th in the majors. Despite that, manager Carlos Mendoza says he passes the eye test.
No, he doesn't. I mean, it's Juan Soto. Like, if I watch Mike Trout play, even though he has bad numbers, it's like he passes the eye test. I've seen him do great things from that stance before and all that. But no, like, I don't know how Carlos Mendoza can say that. This is a guy who's usually top 5 in home runs in Major League Baseball. He is 55th. This is a guy who's usually at least, you know, top 50 in average, and he's 132nd at .224. And then you look at, listen, the Mets have played well. Pete Alonso's been great. They're 34-22. They're at the top of the NL.
Pete Alonso's been awesome.
But, like, don't get it twisted. Like, this team is still good. But Juan Soto, there's been a lot of issues since he signed for $765 million. If you're saying that he's passing the eye test for a $765 million man, I'm going to tell you, you're full of you-know-what. He doesn't pass the eye test right now. He didn't run hard out of the box multiple times a couple of weeks ago against the Red Sox. He's 0-16 since a two-run double he had off the right center fence last Saturday against the Dodgers. He hasn't homered since May 9th. That's a span of 75 plate appearances, and he has just 7 hits in his last 59 at-bats, which is a 119 in that stretch. With runners in scoring position so far this year, Juan Soto has batting 130, 6-46 with a homer and 16 RBIs. Now, last year with the Yankees, if you look at his average with runners in scoring position, he was in the high 300s. So we can sit here and be honest with ourselves. He's probably not going to stay in this slump forever, but he's not passing the eye test. And I know Carlos Mendoza, heads up, he's the manager of the Mets. I get all that. And he's supposed to spread some positivity with times like this when you paid a guy $765 million for an extended contract. But there's no way in reality you look at Juan Soto and the way he's playing right now and the issues they've had with him, with his hustle, you cannot say he's passing the eye test. That's just not the truth.
In his last 16 games, Juan Soto is hitting, here are his hitting splits, 119, 260, 136. Yikes. That is really rough. I do think that eventually Juan Soto will probably get
He'll get it together. I fully agree with that.
But it is interesting that after he gets this massive contract, it just seems like the care factor isn't there as much, and that is a little bit worrisome.
It wouldn't be out of the realm of what we've seen in the past, would it? Guys get their big payday in Major League Baseball, and then they sort of rest on their laurels, get a little complacent. I don't see Juan Soto being this bad the entire season. I think he'll pick it up soon. But if this does continue, I don't think that this is some albatross. I don't think this is something that we've never seen before. We have seen on multiple occasions in multiple sports in North America where guys get big paydays, and then they sort of rest a little bit. The care factor, like you said, is not quite the same. Juan Soto may need to go to the gym, but you need to go to the gym as well. Go to LA Fitness. Handle business. Right now at LA Fitness, they're offering a free 3-day trial. Go to LAFitness.com to sign up for that. But there's a lot of reasons you work out. I work out just to stay in shape, stay around for my family. But you could be trying to set a new PR. You could be wanting to run a marathon, a 5K, whatever it is. LA Fitness has the gear and they have the machines for you. There's 7 Memphis area locations to choose from, so you're always going to have one close to home and close to work. You join for $0 down and only $24.99 per month. $24.99 per month is for one club if you want to get access to all 7 clubs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
In the Memphis area, that is $29.99 per month. But on top of that, if you need babysitting while you're working out, they have the Kids Club there for you, $10 a month per child. If you have paid for any childcare, you know how cheap that is. But you can join now for $24.99 per month, $59 annual, to access any single club in the Memphis area. If you want to access all seven, it's $29.99 per month. Membership auto-renews and requires first and last month's dues at joining. Additional terms and conditions apply. Go to LAFitness.com, check out all the deals they have, including that free 3-day trial. Now let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. When we come back, we'll go ahead and get to the rewind and wrap up today and this week's edition of the Gabe Kuhn Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.